Welcome to another episode of Curtains at 8 on 91.3 WUKY's podcast. I'm Joshua Bear. Originally aired November 25, 2008, Nick is flying with co-pilot Joe Conkright as they interview a very special guest for the Big Blue Nation, a member of the 1994 Comeback Cats and 1996 NCAA champion Walter McCarty. The guys discuss Walter's music and acting career, as well as the Mardi Gras miracle against LSU. Enjoy.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Curtains at 8. I'm Nick Lawrence. Pleased to be here with you. Pleased to be here also with somebody I've admired for a long, 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 long time, more than he knows, but we'll find out maybe subsequently as the program unravels. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show Walter McCarty, a basketball player of great renown, played for the Wildcats, won an NCAA championship. You were drafted by the Knicks, I think, originally.
Right, yes, drafted by the Knicks.
Nobody calls them Knickerbockers anymore, huh?
Not at all, but people, you know, those Knicks fans, they still remember, so.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And then you traded off to the Celtics?
Traded to the Celtics, then to the Suns, and signed with the Clippers to finish up.
How about that?
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Basketball or music for you?
That's it.
Which one?
I'm doing both. People always ask me which one I can't do one without the other, so I enjoy doing both of them.
Well, I was that way in high school. I played sports, lettered in four sports, played in the band. I don't know any other way to be.
Yeah, that's right, man. It's a great balance, and it gives us something to do when we walk off the hard courts.
We've got Joe Conkright in with us tonight. Joe, how you doing?
I'm starstruck. I'm a big fan.
I thought you knew me pretty well.
Well, like you, I'm a big fan of Walter's, and obviously followed his career and everything. But this music that he's got is really good.
It's fantastic.
So I'm here as an appreciator as well. So,
fantastic. Yeah. Well, when I first got the call from Walt, I had this mental picture of a jump shot from the left corner.
And you're a tough guy to get a hold of, too.
Yeah, believe me, yeah, he is.
I try to stay a little bit busy if I can.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Well, I was enamored with your basketball, both at Kentucky and also at Boston. And I'm enamored with your music, which I heard a bit of when you were playing basketball here at UK. Somebody did a special or a feature or something on you. It must have been Channel 27.
Yeah, correct. I've done a lot of stuff music-wise and sung a lot of national anthems. And Coach P had put me on plenty of spots of Christmas parties of playing and singing in front of people. So I've done a lot here, and I just had an awesome time here
Coach,
at the school.
Coach P will keep you busy.
Oh, he will.
He will indeed.
Do that.
Well, I was impressed with your voice on the phone. It's not just a good voice, it's a kind voice. And I've looked at your latest CD, Emotionally, and I see that you are a great lover. And I mean that in a very broad sense.
What other way to live than to sing beautiful songs for beautiful women?
Yeah.
And yeah.
Can't go wrong.
And
gets me out of a lot of trouble.
Gets you in trouble? Or gets me out.
It can get me in trouble too, but not in a long time.
It's good to have you here in Lexington again, Walt.
It's great to be here. I'm going to be here a lot more.
So nice.
I'm very excited with the football season coming up and then the basketball season. So, you know, this free time right now gives me time to do a lot of different things, and I can't wait to, you know, be back in Big Blue Nation.
Once you're a Wildcat, you're a Wildcat for life, I guess.
Always. No doubt.
What kind of music did you listen to growing up? What was inspiring to you?
I really listened to a lot of things, from Donny Hathaway to Stevie Wonder.
I was going to ask you about Donny Hathaway.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Stevie Wonder.
There you go.
The Jacksons and the Temptations and just so
good music.
I listened to it.
Yeah,
I
mean, Duke Ellington said it. He said there's two kinds of music. There's the good music and there's the rest of it.
Yeah, and I love Ella Fitzgerald. I mean,
she's great, isn't she?
If I can go back and be
with her.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
No doubt.
She's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the first lady of song, is what they call her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, indeed. We're talking with Walter McCarty. I'm Joe Conkright. Nick Lawrence over there. It's Curtains at 8 on WKY.
Thank you. It's good to have you aboard, Joe.
I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Usually you join up here either as host if I'm off or on a disc.
It's fun.
We don't get to see your face. We get to see the little 3.5-inch disc.
Yeah.
How many albums do you have out, Walt?
This is my second one. My first one I released in 2003, A Moment for Love, when I was a Celtic. And I just did it because I've always wanted to record an album. And I learned so much from doing that. But in that meantime, I was moving a lot, you know, playing for different teams and having kids. And I just didn't get the chance to start writing again. And I finally, as I retired in L.A., I met with some big-time music guys, and I spent some time with them and came back really inspired, and this is what I created from that.
You had a co-writing credit. In fact, you did the song some people out there may be familiar with, Come Back to Me, Shanti. It was performed by Tyrese.
Yeah, well, with Tyrese.
That's pretty cool. Who'd you write that song with?
Harvey Mason Jr., who's a big-time R&B producer, songwriter. And Tank was a big R&B singer, and Steve Russell, who's the lead singer of the R&B group Troop. And we wrote a lot of stuff. You know, got the rap with Chris Brown. I mean, they were all out there on a daily basis. And it was just great to see how they're writing, how they go about making music.
And it was probably pretty cool, too, because I'm sure they knew you as a ball player, and probably they were fans. And they,
yeah, that's how it was. So. To be honest, how it happened, I got injured early on, right before the start of the season, as a Clipper. So in practices, I would just sit on the side and shoot. And I just happened to walk in the gym, and I practiced as Harvey Mason Jr. and Justin Timberlake. So I'm like, why are you guys here?
Yeah.
And there are fans. They're watching our practice. And Harvey was doing Justin's album at the time. And I said, you know what? I just want to come to the studio and just listen and see how your work is. Like, come on down. And actually, Harvey played scholarship at the University of Arizona. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, that was a big
time. That's cool, yeah.
And his father is a big-time drummer, Harvey Mason. So, I mean, it's just awesome. Just awesome just to be able to do that. And I wouldn't be able to do it if it wasn't for basketball.
Did you get to travel, when you travel around playing pro ball, did you get a chance to sample various music, various musicians, see them at different places?
I really loved going out and watching Wayman Tisdale, who has passed. But, I mean, just to go see him and see him,
it's a great jazz bass player.
Oh, man, he was awesome. He called me up on stage and let me perform with him and mess around. But I mean, everywhere I went, man, on the road, to go see Brian McKnight perform and Boyz II. I mean, I got to meet all the people I looked up to, you know, through basketball. So it was awesome.
It's a dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coach Pitino apparently has figured big in your life.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of credit do you give him for your success?
A lot. I mean, he just really showed us, I mean, how to, you know, growing up, how to be gentlemen, but, you know, how to live in the precious moment, you know, take advantage of all the opportunities we get and just enjoy life and just remember the most important thing, which is family and loyalty. And he's just been awesome. He's been a great figure, father figure for us. And I mean, man, he's known us ever since we were 17, 18 years old from recruiting us. And we've just had a great relationship, man. We trust him. He trusts us. We know what to expect from him. He knows what to expect from us. And he's just been awesome.
And he helped you get into coaching, too, which I guess you like a little bit of coaching still?
I loved it. It's great to be able to teach these young guys and kind of see myself 20, 25 years ago. And just, you know, seeing them start the whole process. And, you know, they come in thinking they know everything, when in all actuality, they don't know anything.
Yeah.
So to be able to teach them and show them stuff and show them what works and, you know, what's going to help get them to this point is awesome.
On a college level, there's a lot to do in coaching. I mean, you got to be out on the road recruiting. So many things you got to do.
You're recruiting. You also have to be intact and make sure your kids are doing the right thing on campus and in classes and their personal lives. And you also have to balance your family.
Is it easier just to be a player than to be a coach?
Oh, definitely, because when I was a player, I had no idea. But, you know, I really appreciate what my coaches did for me when I was at Kentucky, because you realize what all the things they had to do and how they had to juggle every time.
Yeah.
My guess is, Walt, from having talked with you for a little while, you probably would rather be doing music anyway.
I definitely would. If this thing, I mean, it's been going well for me. If this thing takes off, you know, I don't want to go out and win Grammys and do all that stuff, but I really want to express myself through my music and get people, you know, to listen to it and enjoy it. And I love being on stage, performing, having fun. And I mean, I get a kick out of it.
Sounds good.
We got like knocking down a three in the corner.
Right on.
And having them blow the whistle, put the net down. That was always the topping, the cherry on top of
what? We'll have to come back and ask you about this 31-point comeback, which I know is something that's going to follow you around. Remember, that was an amazing thing. Walter, you had got a film credit in 1998. Had to get that right. Spike Lee directed He Got Game. Mm-hmm. And Denzel Washington in it. And I believe you're wearing a Cosby sweater in that movie.
I could be. You know,
I was watching it the other day, and I saw you on there, and I'm like, where did he get that sweater? It looks like a Cosby sweater.
Yeah, we had no say in what we wore. We did get to pick our numbers and our names.
As long as it didn't say Temple, it's okay.
Right. Oh, so you picked your character's name, Mance?
Mance Little. And uh-huh. Got to pick our numbers and everything else. They did it. So.
Ray Allen, main character. So
yeah, Ray Allen. You know what? It was great about that. I first got that part, you know, being the Nick, you know, running down the court and always seeing Spike. I used to mess with Spike. Spike, when are you going to put me in a movie? Spike, when are you going to put me in a movie? And you know what? I got a call from my agent. Spike Lee wants you to come read for this part. So I actually read for the Jesus Shuttlesworth part. It was myself, Ray, and Allen Houston. There's three guys who read for the part. But I did a good enough job that he wanted me to have a part in the movie, so it was awesome.
I bet you it was fun. Did you go to the premiere and everything?
I don't remember. I think I did. I can't believe it. I can't remember if I did or not. But
do you still get people coming up to you about that movie at all?
I mean, I do,
you
know? But especially, I mean, the younger generation, some of these young kids, they love this music. This movie, and they don't know me from Celtics or Kentucky. They know me from He Got Game.
Yeah.
So it's weird, you know.
Yeah.
It was great. I mean, I remember, you know, reading for that part, and I didn't know I was going to actually read with Denzel, mm-hmm. right? So we had these acting coaches, and as I'm reading for this part, you know, Jesus Shuttlesworth, he hates his father.
Yeah.
So you're always in character. So she's like, you hate him. You see him. You won't speak to him. He killed your mother and all this stuff. I mean, so I go in. I'm waiting for him to be called in. So I'm sitting on the couch. And she leaves to go to the restroom or something. So there's a guy sitting next to me with a head on the shades and with dreads. So we start talking. We're sitting there talking about 5-10 minutes. He takes his glasses off, hats off, and it's Denzel.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, my goodness. So my acting coach comes through. Get away from him. You hate him. He killed your mother. And I looked at him. I'm shocked. It was all new to me. So I'm
little method there.
Yeah, I'm like, this lady's crazy.
Yeah.
So he looks at me and goes, don't worry about it. I understand.
Yeah,
so,
man.
Joe, somewhere tonight, Denzel Washington's telling the same story.
Yeah.
About how he ran into Walt McCarty.
I got it.
You still stay in touch with the guys from the basketball team?
I stay in touch with all of them. Like Tony probably called me 10 times today. Tony Delk. And
yeah.
I speak to Ron all the time and Nazi and Antoine. I was just with Nazi, Antoine, and Rondo just 2 days ago in Louisville. I speak to Mercer all the time, and I was just with Prickett as well. Prickett was with us.
Yeah.
Speak to Kenny Sky, Mashburn, and Rex. I speak with all these guys. That's the thing about Kentucky basketball, man. It's one big family. And people really I don't think they underestimate the 96 team, but they underestimate how close we were and how much we loved playing with each other.
How close were you?
We were very close. I mean, it got to the point that all our girlfriends were mad at us because, no, really, I'm serious. They would be mad because we spent so much time with each other. We would go bowling every Friday nights. I mean, we were just always together. And we really loved being around each other. And like I said, we still all speak today. We get together. We play golf. When you have that type of talent and you like each other, you know, because everybody, I remember saying, they don't have enough basketballs. There's too many
There's a lot of stars on that team.
A lot of stars in this team. Mm-hmm. We didn't care anything about that. I mean, we worked our butts off like we were horrible players. I mean, we had a lot of talent, but we worked our tails off, and we loved it, and we loved playing with each other. And I think that's what really made that team special. I still speak to Wayne Turner, who I speak to all the time. We just had lunch here in Lexington, I think, a week ago or something.
So, mm-hmm.
And we're all in touch, and we all care about each other, and we want to see each other do well.
You think some of those cats will come see you on Sunday?
Yeah, I can't say who's coming. I know who's coming. I can't say it on the air.
You don't want to. Sure.
I know for sure.
Yeah, who's coming? Who's coming?
They're not part of the show. People coming to see you. So, yeah, I understand.
Are they supportive of your music?
Oh, they
definitely. And were they back in 96 or so?
They definitely were. We had a lot of fun. And they know me. And he sings all the time. I feel so sorry for Tony Delp.
Well, you know, I was telling Walter when he came in, we had a class together. It was a lab or something, and Tony and him used to come to class. Walter all the time was singing, like just walk in the class, start singing, you know.
And, you know, Del Brown called me today. Del Brown, who played here, he called me today and said, man, I'm trying to get to the show. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I got too much stuff going on.
Yeah.
But, you know, the guys, they're very supportive. They know how much I love music. They know about my passion. And, you know, it's just...
Sounds like not only you, but the rest of the ball players are all loving people.
They are. And that's the thing, I think, what Coach B did being here. He wanted to recruit players who not only love playing basketball, but who were good people. And that was the thing about our team, man. We were good people. We loved to be out and having a good time.
You knew it was a good time then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So...
It's good to have you here, Walt.
It's awesome to be here and be walking around the campus and bring back all these great memories, and I'm loving it.
Sound like fun. Here's Joe. Joe Conkright's back. He took the 42nd Street subway.
I had to go out there and answer the phone.
By way of explanation, folks, our main studio is undergoing a renovation. We're going digital all the way. And we're now broadcasting tonight from the makeshift headquarters in the Frank L. McVeigh Broom Closet.
Yeah, it's tiny.
High atop stately old McVeigh Hall on the campus.
Walter's 6'10". You ought to see him squeezed in this little studio here. I'm telling you, it's rough. Hey,
move that broom over there just a little bit.
Walter, before we get out of here, we got to ask you. I'm going to set the scene. This is back
You're not really going to do this, are you?
1994. And set the scene, okay? You're in LSU. You're playing. It's a heated game. You're getting your tail whipped.
Yes, we were.
Getting your tail absolutely whipped. Everybody watching back in Lexington is pretty much getting ready to turn the TV off.
Probably many had.
Down 31 points.
Dale Brown was gloating.
And Patino on the sideline like a Tasmanian devil, you know, urging you guys.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I know you guys must have just, there must have been something inside of each and every one of you guys that said, you know what, we're not going to take it anymore. So what was going on?
Well, there were some words said to us from Coach P. I can't repeat.
Sunday school lessons.
But you know what, it was a fun game. And I remember this game. We weren't playing bad. These guys were knocking shots down from everywhere with guys hanging all over them. And they were making shots, tough shots, and they had everything going for them. And I remember at the end of the first half, these guys are all in front of the camera. Hi, Mom, and we're number one. And I'm like, wow, it's just halftime. These guys are celebrating like they just won a national championship. So we go in the locker room. I don't think we talked any about any preparation because guys were frustrated. Mm-hmm. That's just one of those where guys are frustrated. Aren't going to work right now.
No learning is going to take place.
And he just told us, just stay patient. We'll make our run. And we go out there. And at that point, I think we're down 25 at half. We go out there, beginning of the second half, they get it up to 31. Uh-huh. They increase the lead. All of a sudden, we start making some shots. Everybody starts making shots. Guys are coming off the bench, contributing, making shots. And we're like, oh, we're in this, this thing. And we just wear them down, and we get the. I mean, it was an incredible win. I remember Coach P drawing up that play, Tony Delk up at the top. Tony, when you drive the ball, Walter Mann helps out in the corner, hit him. If not, you take it all the way. And my man bit. I don't know why my man bit, but he did. He passed it to me, and you know, the rest is history.
You played so many games, you probably can't remember all of them. But I'm sure that's one that'll always be in your memory.
I do, and people remind me. Somebody just showed me a stat sheet of the game like 2 days ago.
But yep. What was your stat line for that game?
I think I was 9-for-14. I only know this because I saw it the other day.
Yeah,
I was 9-for-14 from the field. I think I made 7 threes, maybe.
Wow.
All right, and I had 23 points and I think 8 rebounds.
Unbelievable.
And I was a sophomore, might I add.
Yeah, that was great. I mean, you know, And I think that still stands as the greatest comeback in NCAA history.
I think it is. I think it is.
Well, it's a lot of fun.
Where's home for you? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Evansville, Indiana, right on the border of Kentucky. So, yeah. Ohio River.
Across the road from Henderson?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Public schools and all that sort of thing?
Mm-hmm. Harrison High School.
Yeah.
And, you know, being there in Evansville, Indiana, I got just as much Kentucky basketball games that I did that I got IU. So,
mm-hmm.
you know.
How did the family react to your basketball and your music?
Oh, they love it. I mean, I have a great family. They support me in everything I do. Just the same way with all of my family and friends in Evansville. They support me in everything they do and everything I do. They know my work ethic. They know my passion, my love for doing things. And when I do something, I'm committed to doing it. And I like to share it with all my the people who are surrounding me. So,
any special one person?
Any special one person? My daughters really love my music. They really do.
Are they musically inclined?
They are. They're 8 and 6 years old, and they have their little songbooks. They're already writing songs.
Nice.
And they want to take vocal lessons. They like to go play the piano and the drums. I have all this stuff set up in my house, and they got free reign. You want to go play it? Go play it. You know, I want them to experience
Now, are they athletically inclined?
They are.
Should Matthew Mitchell be in on this right now?
Right.
Do you need to send him a brochure?
They are big, and they are good at everything they do. So it's going to be interesting to see what path they take.
You're going to have a whole different thing going through that process, you know, from that side as the father and taking those calls and doing all that.
Yeah, and you know what? To be honest, I won't get very involved. I say this now. I won't get very involved, but
sure.
I want them to experience it. To me, recruiting was horrible. I hated it. You know, cause,
I can see why. That's got to be an awful imposition on a family.
Yeah, and back then there was no cell phone, so all those phone calls were coming to the house and just ringing nonstop. I actually started staying at my friend's house every night because, you know, there was you couldn't be at home because the phone just rang all night.
Too much. Okay, we need to kind of get rolling out of here. Okay. Walt McCarty, it's good to meet you and see you. I have admired your work for years.
Well, thanks, guys, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Walt, for being a part of it.
Come back and see us.
I will. Anytime you guys need me, just give me a holler.
That was Nick Lawrence and Joe Conkright for Curtains at 8, talking with special guest Walter McCarty, originally aired November 25, 2008. Thank you for listening to 91.3 WUKY's podcast. I'm Joshua Baer. Take care.